Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
From Essex, she hails, land of beauty, from Loughton nail bars to the yawning Blackwater Fenland, from the hot dog pavilion via Billericay's beautiful cascading waterfall, she strides confident, it's Fern McCann.
Welcome, Fern.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Have you ever seen that beautiful waterfall in Billericay?
Honestly, I feel like I'm really letting Essex down, but I've got no idea what you're going on about.
I haven't either. I just thought, I'm just going to say, there may be a beautiful waterfall in Billericay.
I highly doubt it.
I doubt it
I bet
well.
No, I think you're wrong.
But it is very beautiful, and I think that actually people have a misconception about Essex when it's lovely.
I agree. There's some lovely medieval churches, of beautiful countryside.
And there's a lot of roundabouts in Essex, I've always found.
A lot of roundabouts.
And if you have your sat-nav on, it's like, leave at the third exit, leave at the second, all the way through Essex.
And you're going round and round just in case you've missed that exit.
But it's very nice, Essex, also because there's a lot of seaside towns. Do you go to the seaside? Are you a seasidist?
I do occasionally. Now that I've got a daughter, I think I definitely go to the seaside more often. Leon Sea is lovely.
Oh, lovely, yes.
And I love, like, the cockle sheds. And Yeah, it's very nice.
Do you love cockles?
I do.
Yeah, because my wife, who's also from Essex, is a massive fan of cockles. She said she used to go down to Romford Market on a Saturday to get the cockles.
I think you can't beat a good classic seafood stall. Mate, is that an Essex thing?
I think, you know, all the people from the East End moved towards
out to Essex
and the people from Burmese, you'll move to Kent. But so I think Romford Market would be the ideal place to find such delicious delicacies.
Oh, it's so good. My grandparents were all from like Stepney, and yeah, they kind of ventured out to Essex, but that's all they kind of lived on was
cockles.
Like jelly deals. Ugh, I mean, I wouldn't eat that, but I do love.
Oh, do you not like jelly deals?
Oh, I couldn't think of anything worse.
I love
it.
Yeah, I love them. Yeah,
no.
I didn't at first, like oysters, I was unsure, but whelks I draw the line at.
What's your earliest sort of memories of travelling around? You remember being taken out to nice places as a child?
I think I was quite fortunate as a child. Like, my dad definitely had a good job and we got to go on nice holidays. But I'm kind of reliving that through my daughter now. But we've been doing lots of staycays, which actually I find more fun. I've recently just done a camper van holiday, which was amazing. But yeah, like early years for me, just wonderful holidays. Definitely travelled about a bit.
Where did you go?
Florida. We went to Mauritius.
Blimey, huge international destinations.
Yeah, I was very lucky. Very lucky. Went to Australia. It was great.
So how do you get about now?
If I'm travelling into London, honestly, I spent so much time in the back of a car. It's kind of time wasted. So I'd much rather get the train, much rather get the tube. It's just more convenient and quicker. But day to day, I'm driving a car.
Yeah, well, exactly.
Or the bus.
No, but I have got a very fun fact for you.
Yeah.
I've got a double-decker bus licence.
No.
I swear.
Wait a moment. Hold on. This is an absolute showbiz first. We've never had anybody on. Isn't it was called something, a P-something licence? What's that called?
I don't actually know, but all I know is that I passed first time.
But on a double-decker bus?
On a double-decker bus. I learned how to drive a double-decker bus through the heart of East London.
Was this for television or because you wanted to do it?
Basically, at the start of my career, I got offered to do a job to encourage more women to learn how to drive buses and become bus drivers. So I did it, and I took 2 weeks doing this job. And the mad thing is that I failed my driving test 3 times, but bus test, I passed the first with flying colours. But it's just crazy, like on the back of my driving licence, you know, you've got the different diagrams of vehicles. Well, like the bus is ticked on mine. And it's like something that is a party trick. So I get out of parties like, look.
That is so impressive. Neither of us have got anything like that.
You know, like that film Speed, if there was a terrorist that had taken over a route master going through London, you'd be the perfect person to take over at the wheel and drive everyone out of danger.
I just think you never know what's going to happen in
life.
That's
so useful. I mean, I would really like to have a bus. I'm really envious of that.
Well, are you?
I think it's such a great thing to do. Yeah, I'd much rather have a bus licence than, say, a diploma in angle grinding, let's just say.
I mean, I'm going to be honest, this is about as good as it gets with me.
Yeah, but it's better than us because we don't have this. It's all that thinking about, right, like you said, you've got to, you go past the corner, then you think about turning, you've got to remember all this stuff, the huge, the height, the length, all of that. And then on top of that, people getting on, I just, when they got on, I'd say, fuck off, I haven't got time to deal with you, I'm just driving a bus,
I'm just driving a bus. I think that's the thing, like, you know, bus drivers, I've got a whole new...
Yes.
Well, I had a whole
Saints
new found
geniuses.
Respect for them.
Yes.
But we take them sort of things for granted. You know, someone just driving a bus. Actually, it's a skill.
Do you have to learn the psychology as well? Because you're going to get someone who's getting on the bus who may think, I'm not going to pay. What are you going to do about it?
That's the thing. I think bus drivers actually deal with a lot of shit.
They've got to be psychologically trained. They've probably got judo.
And
be able to give counselling when people are upset.
Also, like, you know, a lot happens on a bus.
Yeah.
A lot could happen on a bus. You know, whether it's a fight breaks out or someone doesn't pay or, someone's in danger. Yeah. There's so much that goes on. It is more than just driving the bus.
If somebody farts a lot, is that a reason to chuck them off the bus? I knew somebody, a musician, that was thrown out of a black cab for farting.
No!
Really? Just stopped
are you
joking? Get out.
Are you going
to
name him?
No, I can't.
Will you name Elton?
No, I refuse to. I'm not going to name names. But for instance, you know, are you allowed to do that if you're the bus driver?
I think they do have a level of authority. I mean, would you, if you was the bus driver?
Well, if you were the driver, you wouldn't know, would you? When I was a kid, I used to love, you know, the route masters with the pole at the back. So you just run and get on it and they'd dangle off it.
Yeah.
And the conductor would be like, oi, oi! Like all that, you can't do that, but we used to love doing that, dangling off the back of the bus.
What I'm proposing to you is that you drive and then we are the conductors on your bus.
I think that'd be amazing. You could
do the upstairs, I'll do the downstairs, and then we can sort of talk to people about their problems.
You can tell the unruly children to sit down and stop messing about at the front or the back, and I can help the old ladies on and off with the bags.
And offer a light to people who want to smoke on the top.
Smoking's upstairs, sir.
God, that is the most impressive thing that I think we've had on our podcast. But have you put it to any practical use or not been able to yet?
Well, the camper van holiday.
So what size is your camper van?
It was a big vehicle and all of my friends were like absolute pussycats to drive it. And I was like, hang on a minute. I felt very confident,
Exactly, because...
I've got a bus licence.
But did you rent it or did you buy it?
I rented it.
And the higher people must have gone, oh, well, no, excuse me, do you realise? And you went, hang on a moment, boom, out comes a licence with a picture of the bus.
Exactly.
Not so if you put their smile on the other side of their face then.
And I felt like the queen of the road in the camper van. I felt like at total ease driving it.
And when the camper van, you know, how long would you stay somewhere? Would you go to a little sort of woodland glade in the middle of nowhere or perhaps the beach, or would you go to a campsite or on the edge of a volcano?
We went to two campsites. We went to 2 campsites and we explored Cornwall, went to the beach.
Did they have toilets at these places you went to?
They did, actually. They were really nice campsites. But here's the thing, right? Apparently, it's like an unwritten rule on camper vans not to use the toilet on the actual camper van. So we didn't use the toilet. We kind of learned how to plug it into the electricity. I mean, we were terrible campers. The only good thing I was driving it, and then on the way back I was like, what is that smell? Like it was repulsive. We was driving all the way back.
We weren't on there, were we?
No, not hiding in the back. And basically, despite not using the toilet, you still had to empty the waste. Oh. Because we used a little bit of water washing up and things like that.
Dirty washing water. Because I went on one of those, we hired one, and we went to in the Lake District, and we parked up in a campervan park, but there was no toilets. So you had to use...
But
Nancy refused to use the toilet on the campervan. We had to go and find places. But there was no toilets on there at all. And that's the high end of campervanning. You know, the ones who are the real hardcore people.
Mm.
They go there and you have to use everything on the campervan.
I mean...
It's hard work.
You obviously wouldn't have had one as big as Fern's because she's got a proper license to...
This was huge. It was awful. I couldn't drive
it. Don't pretend you've got a bus license because I know that you haven't.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
How many people did you have on your camper?
It was very cramped. It was me, my daughter, and my three best friends. But really, that it should have... I reckon it would have fitted comfortably two adults and one child. And there was four of us and my baby. It was confined and cramped.
Mm. Yeah.
But it was a large vehicle, but inside, you know. I mean, we were absolutely shocking at this camper van holiday. We didn't bring any chairs. We had to improvise and basically use a bed sheet as a picnic blanket to sit outside.
You don't sound like you were very prepared, really.
No, we wasn't prepared at all. But it was the best holiday and the best daycare and memories made forever, because I just think you can't beat holidaying in your own country. Yes, it's lovely to go abroad. And like, my experience of holidaying when I was my daughter's age was jetting off to lovely places. But I think the memories that my daughter's got from the random camper van, very unprepared holiday in Cornwall was just brilliant.
Yes, and I think it's also, don't take this wrong, being with a lot of chaotic adults is great fun.
Oh, we are.
You know, and it's like, well, you think, well, what's going to happen now? You know, do they know?
We're wild.
Yeah.
We're wild.
Yeah. Now, will you miss Essex?
Right. This is so random. I'd love it if people said to me, right, we've learned something about you, you've got a bus licence. I'd be like, yes, that's right, well done. For some weird reason, you know, like sometimes in the press, they'll write a really random fact about you that actually isn't true at all.
And then it gets repeated.
And it gets repeated. And it's like, every time I have to say, no, I've never entered a pageant competition. I couldn't imagine entering something like that.
I saw recently, what do you call them? A carnival float with Miss Kent on it.
Ooh.
And I was going to ask, have you ever been on a carnival float?
No, have you?
You could drive one.
Have you ever been on one?
No, I quite like...
Maybe playing a piano on the back of a, you know, with Mr. Piano written on the front of it.
I think so, with a sort of some giant mannequin dancing in a grotesque way. No, I'd like the idea of that.
I'd love to go, because you don't see them too often, and it was a rare thing to see carnival floats. And we've not ever spoken about carnival floats, and I think it's an area of transport which is very important.
But when you say it was Miss Kent, there was a Fair Maid of Kent competition, and my friend had the headline torn out of the local paper on his... pinned on his fridge from some years ago. And one of the villages in Kent, just outside Harbledown, just near outside of Canterbury, is called Rough Common. And the headline was, Rough Common Girl Wins Fair Maid of Kent Competition.
Yeah, I know Rough Common. It's nice. It's not rough or common.
Exactly.
I was on a carnival float that was representing the 1950s. So I was the lead teddy boy with a 7-foot quiff, which was held up by a willow crutch.
Really?
No, I just made that up.
I was there with you. I mean, you can say anything to me right now. And I'll be
if
like
I was on a carnival float, which I would love to be at some point.
Well, the Lord Mayor's, they have floats, don't they, on that and things like that. They have lovely floats with sort of...
Our people with huge heads, fake paper mache heads.
That's right,
exactly.
Or they do that sort of thing in lots of continental villages, don't they? When they'll have a certain saint and they'll sort of parade their... In fact, I was recently in Amalfi, where the remains, they've got St Andrew's head in the church there, and then once a year it's taken around in a venerated
thing. What, his mummified head? Or...
Well, I'm not quite sure, because you couldn't see, but it's taken around, but apparently mystical smoke always appears from it every year.
No.
Yep. So there you go, there's, you know...
And did you see that?
Well, no, because I wasn't there on that day of the year, was I? I haven't planned it properly.
Is there any evidence of this? Or is it just the vicar smoking a bit of fag smoke?
It absolutely happens without question. And if you want evidence, it's because I'm telling you.
I've actually drove the Amalfi Coast.
Oh, really?
That was my first experience driving the other side.
But that's quite a thing, because they're tiny, winding roads, and like they're mountain roads.
Oh, it was so stressful.
But you're the most brave driver we've so one. If that's your first, but going on the other side of the road, on dangerous mountain roads that look like they're out of a James Bond film.
Yeah.
Why did they make you drive there?
So that was for TV, actually. We'd done an Amalfi Coast road trip, me and my friend, Vicky Patterson, for This Morning, and she hasn't got a driving license, so I literally done all of the driving. It was very Thelma and Louise, not with the ending, but it was amazing.
That's nice. What sort of things did you see going along there?
So we went to a lemon farm, drank lots of limoncello.
Yes.
What, and then drove off?
No, on the wrong side of the road.
We got a taxi that day. We went to Capri.
Oh, lovely.
Which was amazing.
That's where I've just been there. That's it, lovely.
Positano, went to a farm. It was quite random, but beautiful. Learned how to make pizza.
Oh, well, it is the place of pizza and coffee, isn't it? But Ravello was the other place that was lovely. Did you drive through there? But I'm so impressed because I was in a taxi, and the taxi driver was my new best friend, which I loved, and was going to show me everything. And his father had been a taxi driver, and if I needed anything, it was great. He was my new best friend. But we were going around these roads that were so narrow that I thought, I don't even know where I'm going. And there you were, unaccustomed as you were to driving on the other side of the road.
I love a challenge.
Is that the worst drive, is it the most frightening drive?
Definitely. But then you kind of get used to it, and... I mean, it's really kind of steep cliffs right on the edge, but beautiful at the same time. And I just thought, oh, do you know what? I'm going to give it a go. Like, do you love a challenge?
Did you have any particular tricks to remember to stay on the other side of the road?
Just don't go on the other side of the road, otherwise you're going to die. That's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I used to have to keep remembering to keep my watch away from the curb or whatever it was, something to constantly remind myself to...
Well, when you're going round those cliff edges...
Yes.
I did one in Portugal, going right up to the top of this mountain, because I'm terrified. I get bad vertigo, and it was awful. And I wanted to drive it into the mountainside all the time, just scrape the car along the mountainside. Couldn't do it at all. It was awful.
How do you guys travel around day to day?
On our horse.
Here we go. Go on then. You share one?
Yeah. No, well, we take turns at who's going to the front and the back.
I would use all sorts of methods. I cycle a bit, I drive a bit, I like the train. I like you, I think the train's nice.
It's just so quick. I just don't think you can beat it.
Also, the great thing about a train, actually, is it takes you straight to the centre of a town. You know, if you want to get straight to the middle of Manchester or Paris or Edinburgh or wherever it is you're going, you know, they never built the airports in the middle of the town because it's not a very good idea, is it? But the train is right bang there in the middle, so you can't go wrong.
Yeah, I love it. But I used to love getting on the bus as well and sitting on the top and looking at the top of buildings. But those tour guide ones, the ones with the open tops?
Yes.
Have you ever done one of them?
I have, actually.
Have you? I've never done one, but I think it'd be quite a good thing to do.
It was good, but it was so hot the day that we went on the open top bus. It was scorching. I took my granddad and my daughter. My granddad, he's 91 now.
Oh, great.
So trying to deal with, she was probably 2.5 at the time, 2.5-year-old and a 90-year-old on a boiling hot day just doing the sights of London was...
So you did your town.
Yeah.
I think that's a really good thing to do.
I agree, actually.
And what's your favourite sights in going around London?
I do like... It's the obvious, I'm not very good at things like this. Buckingham Palace.
Love it.
Did you go do the Tower of London and places
yeah.
like that?
Yeah. Oh, that's where we started, actually.
Yeah.
We jumped on that corner of the Tower of London. That's like my favourite place, I think. It's
Tower
just,
of London.
Yeah.
Well, I like the Tower of London. Very dark history it has, of course. But something cheers me up whenever I see it. And what I like about it is that it sits there growling, this sort of medieval stronghold right in the middle of London, growling. And all those buildings come up, those big, you know, there's a gherkin or a knobhead or whatever they're all called, come up. And you know, in another 10 minutes, they'll all be gone, but it's going to be sitting there going, everybody, you know. And I love the Beefeaters. I had a drink with them once in their bar. And they're all retired regimental sergeant majors. And they live in there with their families and everything. And at night, the gates shut. And then they have the ceremony of the keys, and they've been doing it for 500 years. And it says, who goes there? The keys, whose keys? The Queen's keys. The Queen's keys pass. And it's really, it's great. It's the sound of old London.
And
really.
Do they own their costumes?
Uniforms, could we substitute a word there?
Yeah.
I think they have uniforms, yes.
They have ruffs and everything.
Yes, all of that, yeah. But then, here's a weird, so there was a very nice general, Keith Chemer, gave me the tour, and... He got to one room, and he's the chief constable of the town. He's got a room, and it was all dark and misty, and you could echoey footsteps, you know, our echoey footsteps, and there's no tourists. When you hear our footsteps, and we go into his apartments, which are this really, it's like 17th century building in the corner of the sort of thing, and he's just showing us around lovely panelled rooms, and it's like, oh, that hasn't been touched for years. And then he says, oh, we're just going to this room, and it knocks on the door. We say, oh, is there somebody in there? He said, no, it's the ghost, but you've got to knock to let them know you're coming. But I mean, this is a senior general on the constable of the tower.
Yeah.
He said, if you do that, the ghost doesn't bother you. But if you don't knock, it's
so what happens if you don't knock, you catch him unawares.
Yeah, they don't like that. They don't like that, and then you get a lot of bother from them. Apparently.
Right.
So yeah, it was really great.
More interesting.
Yeah, it's really great. The tower. It's quite a very strange place.
Could you imagine that being your job, being a beefeater?
Getting into that uniform every day. Do you know what? I was in Petworth House last week. Very big grand house, and in the carved room, there's a beautiful carved room with a picture of Henry VIII in the middle, and next to it is this other fella. I said, who's that bloke? An Elizabethan fella, and he had a pink sort of bodice with tiny little pants and long pink stockings with bows like garters round them.
Much as you're dressed today for this podcast.
Well, I thought this is fantastic, yes. And like pom-poms on his shoes. I thought that is fantastic. What an outfit. And it reminded me because the Earl of Essex apparently had the most gorgeous legs in Britain.
Really?
And Elizabeth I had a big, massive crush on him. But she eventually had him executed, I think because he might have turned her down. And the men, Elizabethan men, used to get the legs out. And if you look at pictures of them, I was looking at some pictures when I got back home, I did some research, and they stand like women do on the red carpet now with one leg forward and a hand on the hip.
That's
like that,
crazy.
To say, check out my legs.
Yeah.
Because it was the other way around then.
Yeah, interesting.
I wonder when it changed.
Well, women wore long gowns then, so
that's right.
We
didn't see, no women's leg had been seen in England until I'd say maybe 1920s.
Maybe
really?
Not even then.
Yeah, that's
but
what I'm
a man,
guessing.
Oh, yeah, if you had a long
Well, but unless
legs.
You count the Stone Age.
Can we just talk about the fact that she got him executed because he turned her down?
No, can
imagine?
I... Actually, I do have a bit of an inside track because I only read this the other day in Hume's history. This is the sad part, right? She did have him executed because there were people plotting against him. He'd thrown big parties for her. But she said to him, here's a ring, if ever... And so he wouldn't apologise. There's something like that. It's something he wouldn't do. She said, if ever you need me, here's a ring from me, Elizabeth I says to the Earl of Essex. You know, you just have this ring and hand it back. Anyway, he's in the death cell thinking, well, actually, I think I'm going to need to get out of this. So one of her ladies in waiting and said, give her this ring and tell her I need her now.
Right.
So she took the ring, the lady in waiting, but her husband was one of the plotters against him. And he said, what have you got there? He said, it's a ring to give to Elizabeth. He said, no need to trouble with that. I'll take that. Poor Essex is then executed. Then right? When Elizabeth is quite ill on her deathbed, but not quite dead, her lady-in-waiting says, I can't keep this from her because he loved you. That was the point. He loved her, and that's why he needed her. She said, I've got to tell you this thing that happened. My husband did this. I know it was wrong, but if I don't tell you now, you're done. And at that point, Elizabeth looked at her, and that killed her. She died of a broken heart.
Oh, darling.
Not a lot of people know that, but there we go.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. What period of history would you go back to if you could be a time traveller?
I love the roaring 20s.
Yes.
I would have loved to have just kind of gone to the parties and looked a lot of fun.
Yes, I agree.
And the kind of...
People look
costume. Sorry, not costumes. Can we say costumes?
No, they are costumes.
Yeah,
that's right.
The costumes and the fashion. Yeah,
I would like to go back to medieval London and have a sniff because I bet it was rank.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Oh, man. They would just throw dead bodies out and that shit out of your house. Old bits of offal, food and everything just went out in the street.
But I think you're actually, in the 1920s, if you'd have been in London or any great cities, but London particularly, it would have been unrecognisable compared to the London we see today. There would have been little houses, nothing would have been bombed, nobody would have flattened the houses to build modern estates. It would have been like a load of villages. It would have been quite a poverty-stricken but fascinating place. So there.
Thank you.
There you go.
I think we should do a series where we get in your camper van, you drive, me and Jim, to a different historic destination each week, and we just go back in time. And we dress up
really
as whatever
good.
It is.
Because then I could learn a lot. I could learn a lot. I could bring my level of expertise by driving a large vehicle.
Exactly.
And you guys could teach me about history.
Well, we'd be learning about it ourselves,
yeah,
I think.
On a Routemaster bus.
Yeah.
I was in Japan a few years ago and there was a Routemaster bus there just parked up and they were selling tea off the back of it.
Did you like Japan? Because I went there a few years ago.
Yeah.
What did you think of it?
I absolutely loved it. Yeah. For me, going to... I'd never seen anything like that. You know, like you watch things on different locations, on movies and stuff. And it was the smell and just the different buildings and the people. It was amazing. And I actually went with my daughter we went in 2019. So she would have been 2.5. And they couldn't believe, like all of the locals was coming up to me and was so obsessed with my daughter. Because I think that, I know people travel with their kids, but to be like that far away, it was kind of rare to see people traveling with their young children. And she got so much attention, but it was amazing. I loved it. I loved the food. I loved the culture. And
where
it's just a mad place, isn't it?
I love the food. I went into the middle of some farmland, right in the middle of Japan, and did an old traditional dinner, which was about 20 courses.
I did that in like a little Japanese house.
Yeah.
And that was in Kyoto.
And did you sit on the floor?
Yeah.
And you can't get up. You're there for like hours and hours.
In a food coma.
Well, yeah, because you can't, oh God, I need to get up because my legs, I've got cramp. And it's all so beautifully done. And they'll like bow and offer you like a bit of eel. And then you got cramp and you're thinking, oh.
Yeah, it's quite random, the food, but it just works, doesn't it?
It's unbelievable. Delicious. It's like eating works of art.
Yeah. I'm a real foodie, actually.
What's your favourite sort of food?
Oh, that's just too hard to say. I do like Japanese food, but Italian, just wholesome, good English dishes, just anything.
What sort of what's your favourite English dish?
Well, I think I have to say a roast because it reminds me so much of my grandparents. It was the first thing that I learned how to cook. And every Sunday, we will have a roast dinner of some sort.
I think you're right. I once wanted to set up, this was some years ago, of restaurants, and they were just going to be called Nans. That you have to be a grandmother to be the chefs in, and you could have English Nans, but you could also have Indian Nans, Italian Nans, Greek Nans.
Yeah.
But because they would just do whatever they did for their grandchildren, because everybody says, "What's your we used to go around my nan, we used to make this most delicious." That's what everybody says.
Yeah.
So get them doing the dinners. That's what I said.
With their recipes.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't beat home cooked food.
You can't. That's
you just
right.
can't.
Do you cook a lot yourself at home?
Yeah. I love to cook.
What about on the camper? Were you able to cook on that?
Well, that's the one thing that I actually nailed. We done a big breakfast in that. I mean, in the end, that camper van stunk. Like, we had a big fry up one morning, and you know, like that smell, like kind of lingers, doesn't it? And it embeds in all the sheets and things like that. But yeah, we had a big old fry up. It was stressful, but made it work.
What are you having for dinner tonight?
My daughter loves, this is so boring, but just bangers and mash.
Well, that's lovely.
Classic,
but
isn't
with,
it?
With onions.
Of course, yes. With onion gravy.
What are you having?
I don't know, because I'm going to a restaurant.
Oh, what restaurant?
Get you.
What restaurant, Jules? Lucky you.
I'm not sure.
Which Wimpy is it tonight?
Bender in a bun. Bender in a bun.
Yeah, Bender. Do you know what? My friend once said, when the Bender in a bun, right?
Oh,
I remember
so good.
When the first time we'd ever heard of Nouvelle Cuisine, I said, what exactly is Nouvelle Cuisine? This is going back in the 70s. Mm. What is a Nouvelle Cuisine? He said, it's one of them specially curved sausages you get in a Wimpy.
What are you having for dinner tonight?
I'm having brisket with some pickles and mash.
Mm. Oh, it's got my appetite up. Well, thinking of all those things now. Yeah. That really has got my appetite up. I think it's time we had a sandwich.
Would you like a sandwich, Fern?
I'd absolutely love a sandwich.
Corned beef and beetroot. Ham and mustard.
I'll take whatever's going.
All right. Well, thank you, Fern McCann.
Thank you, Fern McCann.
Thanks for having me.
Wonderful.
Well, there goes Fern. She's had a sandwich, which was corned beef and beetroot, and she thoroughly enjoyed it.
Exactly. She's going to be sharing it with her friends, and probably it'll be a new dish on the camper van.
Yeah. Well, there she goes on a double-decker London bus. Goodbye, Fern.
Goodbye.
This podcast was produced and edited by Molly Stewart.
Sound engineers were James Stewart and George Latham.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.